Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're picking up our examination of Hebrews in the 9th chapter. In the previous episode, we looked at the first, five verses, something like that. So let me go back and reread those five verses to set the context, which is actually picking up the context from chapter 7 and chapter 8. Y'all know how that works. But then there's a point that this gets to, and I think we'll be able to reach that today. So listen to this. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Now, even the first covenant had divine regulations of divine worship and the earthly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one in which were the lampstand and the table and the sacred bread. This is called the holy place. Behind the second veil, there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense, and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which were a golden jar holding the manna and Aaron's rod, which budded, and the tables of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail." So that's the end of verse 5. And it wasn't because the author didn't know about these things in detail. When you get to the end of the letter, remember what he says, "I've written these things to you as an exhortation." And he said, "I've written briefly." He was attempting to write to them briefly, not get sidetracked by things. And so he says, "I can't get into detail of all this right now." But just to point out a couple things. Notice that the Ark of the Covenant is covered on all sides with gold. It's behind the curtain. The altar of incense is actually in front of the curtain, okay, in the Holy of Holies. When you read this right here, it's based on a particular type of translation. It makes it sound like it's behind the curtain. But when you look at the balance of the scripture, it is not. It's in front of the curtain. But the Ark of the Covenant has some things in it. The golden jar holding the manna, and Aaron's rod that had budded, and the tables of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Or apparently at some point in time, they were given permission, authority, or were instructed to place those inside the Ark of the Covenant. We don't see that in the Old Testament, but here it tells us that's what it was. And above the Ark of the Covenant was the cherubim, and they were overlooking where the glory of the Lord was, the mercy seat. Now, verse 6. "Now, when these things have been so prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer temple, performing divine worship." So the holy place, they come in on a daily basis, and they're performing divine worship. They exchanged the bread out once a week. They kept the candles burning. Candles always burned in there. They offered prayers unto the Lord at the altar of incense on a continual basis. They did this on a daily basis. Verse 7, "But into the second one, into the Holy of Holies behind that veil, behind that curtain, only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance." That's a biggie right there, the sins committed in ignorance. That verse 7 right there is a very, very succinct synopsis of the whole thing that happens on that Day of Atonement. And the Old Testament gives detail about what's to occur, what the offerings were, what the blood was, the order, the sequence, how it was to go about. The priest changed clothes several times. There were all sorts of things involved with this. But notice that it's for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. And so this wasn't for the sins of the people that they committed, and they knew that they committed the sin. They just thought, "Well, I'll just go kill a lamb and I'll be okay with God." No, there was none of that attitude, none of that mindset. Now, verse 8, this is where it comes. Now, remember, the author is writing all this to a group of people that are believers, but that are Jewish in background. So he's explaining to them. And remember, they're being tempted. We'll see more about this later, but they're being tempted because of trials and tribulations and various things to go back into Judaism. Verse 8 says, "The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing, which is a symbol for the present time. What? And actually, that's verse 8 in the first part of verse 9. The way the verses are sort of broke up the sentence, that often gives me a little hint right there that there's some interesting history as to how this was translated or something. But here's what the bottom line is, why he's sharing this. He's saying the Holy Spirit is signifying this. The Holy Spirit is revealing this to us, is showing us this, that the holy place has not yet been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing. And he's saying the outer tabernacle is a symbol for this present time, the present time in which we are. Let me finish out the verses 9 and 10. Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience, since they relate only to food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until a time of reformation. Now, what's going on here in the midst of all this? Hebrews was written at a time to where you had true believers, but you still had Judaism going on. Okay? You still had the temple. The temple had not been destroyed yet, we don't think. We think Hebrews was written prior to that time just because of what Hebrews is talking about. The temple was destroyed in 70 A.D. And so he's communicating a couple things here, I think. First of all, the temple is still there. And, you know, that you're not going to enter into that holy place as long as you are retaining to the form of Judaism that you find in the law with this outer tabernacle. And at that tabernacle, as long as it's standing, you're not going to enter into the holy place. And as long as you are believing in that, as long as you are standing in that. I think it is maybe a little hint about the fact that the temple would be destroyed, but that's not what's really important. It doesn't mean that it has to be destroyed for the Jewish people to enter in. No, no, no. He's saying this, that those gifts and those sacrifices that are offered up, they can't make the worshiper perfect in conscience. He says that point blank in verse 9. Says it exactly that, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience. Why? Because verse 10 tells us. They only relate to food and drink and various washings and regulations of the body. And that's imposed upon us until a time of reformation. The time of reformation has already come. Well, how do I know that? Well, let me just read the first few words of the next verse, verse 11. But when Christ appeared. Well, that right there sort of shows us some stuff, doesn't it? When Christ appeared, the outer temple was literally done away with, even though it was still standing at that point in time, okay? It would fall shortly thereafter, even though it was still standing. But Christ appeared, and Christ is what? Better of everything. And he literally enters into a more perfect tabernacle, and he literally is the more perfect tabernacle in some senses of our understanding. Remember what we've seen in Hebrews. Jesus is better. Because of that, therefore, believe. Therefore, believe. So he's really encouraging them. Say, hey, don't get distracted by Judaism. Don't get distracted by that kind of stuff. You have entered into something. You have literally entered into the Holy of Holies. Don't turn around and try to run out to the holy place. Okay? Don't go back. Keep pressing on, moving forward. It's quite a word for us, isn't it? Again, I'm Dale. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.